In today's show, we have Joe Balog, our contributor. I was surprised to find out it's actually pursuing a vegan lifestyle. The first time that I was exposed to veganism was at the Farm Intentional Community in Summertown, Tennessee. And I had heard about it, but to actually see people who have done it for years and who are able to get all their protein from vegetables without being vegetarian, without eating fish or eggs or other things, was remarkable. But the reason that we're doing the show today is because I ran across a pamphlet from ChristianVeg.org, V-E-G.org, and it's called, Would Jesus Eat Meat Today? Perhaps not, here's why. Mr. Balog, being a devout Catholic, when you decided to pursue veganism, was it because of influences you had at the Farm Intentional Community and other kind of alternative perspectives, or was it a faith-based decision, or was it just a personal thing that you cited for health reasons?
I think it was really a mix of things. There was a point in time when I was in college when I decided to have a vegan diet for Lent as part of my fasting practice. And as my buddy Sam Granger, who's an Orthodox, who's been on the show as well, would talk about that. The Orthodox do a vegan Lent every year, but I tried to do something special at my bachelor's degree in sustainable business, and part of that was learning about the environmental damage that we are doing through having a carnivorous diet, the pollution that it causes, the damage to the land, to water sources, there's all kinds of stuff. So I give it a shot and quickly learn that it's harder than it seems. But then it kind of got me interested in organics and the whole like whole food, like food to table movement and all of that. And then after let's see. Then I think I kind of experimented and like went back and forth with things for a while. And so this past year when I kind of decided just to go full boat, but I'm not really, you know, a vegan lifestyle is really one where, and we probably dive into this a little bit later, but is one that is not just about a diet, but is also about what you wear, what you buy, how you live, and basically an ethos that's oriented towards the protection of animals and compassion towards animals, which I don't fully subscribe to everything, so I'm not a full vegan. But with the food diet, it was also spending, getting to know you and having been at the farm, and the how veganism played into the hippie movement was really interesting. But for me, what it really comes down to is I just discovered that eating that way, of having a plant-based diet, made me feel better, and I was sleeping better, I was exercising better, I could exercise longer, I would recover faster, I felt healthier just in the day, my aches and pains went away, and so I realized that was a really good thing for me. And then I started, or during this time too, I was watching a lot of documentaries on food and you know, plant-based diet and vegetarianism. But the whole topic of it, of whether Christ is a vegetarian or was a vegetarian, that is a whole new interesting topic, which I'm very excited to jump into today with you.
Well, I don't think they're saying that Jesus was a vegetarian, like, originally, or when he was on Earth. What they're saying is that if you follow his principles of compassion towards other human beings, and I guess they're assuming that he has compassion towards animals, too, because in the eternal kingdom, there's going to be, animals are not going to eat each other. The lamb will lay down with the wolf, and the leopard with the asp, and stuff like that, so there's this idea of in the heavenly realm, or in the new kingdom that Jesus established, there is no more violence between the creatures of the earth. And in Judaism, there's a similar idea, but it's before the, well, I guess the fall or the corruption of humanity, where Adam and Eve did not eat anything made out of flesh. They only ate plants, and then it became part of human diet. And there's even mystical stuff where it says that when people keep the Torah, the commandments, you know, it's okay to slaughter animals for food. But if we were keeping the mystical Torah or the heavenly Torah that is described in Kabbalah, it wouldn't be necessary for us to eat meat, because you're in a different type of spiritual realm, where it's the same thing. It's kind of like a Buddhist thing where you wouldn't want to harm other creatures. So there are some elements about that, but what most people find it difficult is it really sustainable? And I'm not talking about sustainable for the world. I know Leonardo DiCaprio wants to ban meat consumption and stuff like that, but we're talking about maybe for you it was healthier to become vegan or vegetarian, but some people feel a bit really weak. They feel like they're not getting enough protein. Some people just like the taste of meat, and they find no flavor in just vegetables, no matter how many spices you put on them. So do you see it as maybe it could be like a personal thing as compared to the solution for everybody's problem?
I think that it is very much that it, because everybody's different, that it's not going to work for everybody, and that the healthy way to go about it, I think, would be to experiment and try to find a diet that's appropriate to what you like. I mean, there's there's so many people out there who push different diets for various reasons and say like they're the one all be all. But having watched like some documentaries and TED Talks on it, there's so much variance and intricacy to diet that relates to culture, ethnicity, blood type, body, all our, you know, where we were raised, our environment. It's impossible to say that there's one unique diet that's good for everybody. I think in that it's kind of silly to think that there is. I mean, the whole fad, that's how fad-based diets, I mean, that's why they work, is because, like, kind of live in a fad-based society. And I think that it's kind of up to each person to figure out what's best for them. And it's not always going to be like easy, whatever diet that you pick. Even for myself, like, I don't consider myself like full vegan because of the reason stated, but also because of sometimes I do eat meat. I'll be honest, like, and I also eat candy and cake sometimes, and that's my personal choice. And you know, the reasons for that are because I think that sometimes efficiency, convenience, and social experience is more important than dietary preference. But that's my personal choice. That's a really good point. It's not always kind of dry for everyone, I think.
Well, you know, I was just complaining to you about people not being convicted enough, or I guess intense enough about their views, that if we talk about a subject like veganism, we can do pros and cons, we can do, you know, what works for everybody. But if you talk to a true vegan, they'll tell you that the whole world future depends on our diet. And the Farm Intentional Community, when they were founded, they wanted to save the world or create a utopian paradise. And part of that was not causing harm to animals. And it's a form of violence to kill, to eat. So, you know, there's vast forests around them and they wouldn't hunt. And some people thought it wasn't practical for them to do that. But it just goes back to, do you feel the society is not as consistent or excited or almost like fanatical in a good way about anything anymore, that people are kind of like, well, you know, I don't want to offend people, so if they put a steak in front of me, I'll eat it, but it's not my preference. That like people have lost their passion for causes, and maybe that's why America is so kind of complacent, and you don't see a radical change in the way we eat or the way we live or treat others.
There's a point to that. Yeah, that's a good point, I guess. You know, if everybody was a little more diehard, poverty would be solved and we'd have no problems and everyone just stuck to their guns on things. But it's just not realistic. Like, we don't. It's just not gonna happen. Like, and some of that is personality difference. Like, you got to have the leaders and the people who are super passionate and like principled and going to die for their principles. But I mean, some of the sociology from the 20th century is like 21st century and 20th century is kind of true. Like, most of us were just kind of followers, not really sticking our necks out and for like huge social things. I mean, I think it would be, the federal government has taken steps, like I think of Michelle Obama's campaign with getting healthy food to kids, and that type of stuff. But as soon as Trump came into office, he nixed it. And so it's like, okay, so there goes that campaign. There's a 101 nonprofits that related to like healthy food for kids, farm to table, organics. You got all these co-ops going up. There's a huge growth in the slow food movement in the U.S. Food Not Bombs is a movement that supports getting free food to homeless people by trying to take it out of the food system. And there's a lot of organizations that are focused around food waste. So I think we do a lot on the organizational level. And then on the personal level, I think, I don't know. I think we generally make decisions based on, our dietary preference that we grew up with, and then, some of us, like myself, have changed. But there's like, it would be interesting if there was a larger swell to try to get vegetarianism and veganism to be full blown. I don't think it would save the world, though, necessarily. Even when it comes to our conversations and your shows on things of faith, like, we're not even always totally principled about our deepest convictions about who God is and God's importance in our life, let alone like what we're gonna eat every day. I think. But when it comes to the food thing, one of the biggest things I think that could make a difference and make a push is if we had, we could get more into this, but like if we adjusted the cost of food to be relative to like its environmental cost. That's one strategy that's being put on the table. But if things actually cost what they really are. The whole idea behind it is the idea of true cost, which is including things like the social cost plus environmental cost to produce something, counting in pollution, counting in what type of labor situation it came from, and trying to give people like fair wages. You have in that conversation talking about like fair trade, and it would be interesting if grocery stores, if more grocery stores were like Whole Foods and less like the convenience stores, and if those Whole Foods were in places where they're considered food deserts, where people generally don't get healthy foods, and don't have access to them, could we get more people interested in eating healthy eating, maybe moving to a vegetarian or a vegan diet? And could we also see a lot of increase in public health because of that? And there's studies out there that show that it's true through practice. Here in Chicago, even, there's a movement towards that, and there's been some political and economic choices, and Whole Foods has gone up here, and a different grocery store has gone up there, and you know, they're trying to make shifts of companies are trying to shift what types of foods that they highlight, and so that's really encouraging, I think, and pretty cool.
Here in Mexican Skeptic, we usually don't do attacks at people, but I will do it this time. By saying more like Whole Foods, you mean more snobby and more expensive and inaccessible to the public?
Yeah, that's definitely, I definitely think that it's, that point is valid, that it is, it's uppity and it's full paycheck, but there's one, they just built one here in Chicago on the south side, on 65th Street, which is not terribly south, but it's still pretty south. And they have employed, they were actually able to lower the cost of most goods in the store by a bit of a margin. And they employ only local people. Who are all people of color in surrounding community, and they're able to, you know, the people that work there are able to get meals, you know, so at least that helps some people. And people have liked it. I've heard things that it's going well, and I've read things that it's the store itself is doing well financially. So that's pretty encouraging, and Whole Foods has tried to model that and do that. They're talking about building another one on the west side, and but Whole Foods is a company that, since its inception, has put in business principles in place that are all around trying to develop their employees and have a healthy whole company, where they've made financial sacrifices for the sake of social gains and environmental gains, because that's its mission statement. There's a good, what's the name of the book? There's a couple good books out there on like doing social good in business. What the heck is the name of one of them that Whole Foods is highlighted and how they're founded? You can probably Google it and like read a Huffington Post article or something on it, and that would be, if people are interested, that would be really cool.
And to be fair, I've had multiple friends who have worked there, and they haven't had any complaints. And the latest thing I heard was that they were bought by Amazon, and that they're trying to make at least common items, like food that that is not specialty food, more accessible. So there is a little bit of hope in that. But going back to the topic of veganism, there's... I'm going to do a show about the diversity problem of intentional communities, how it is difficult to get people from different cultures to join intentional communities. Don't you think that veganism is also a type of affluent Caucasian thing? Because you don't hear of too many people from disenfranchised or minorities pursuing veganism. I know that the diet of Rastafarians has some vegetarian influences, and in the Indian community there's also vegetarianism. But do you think it might be a fad, especially after all these years since it was brought up by the hippie movement? Has it really gotten a hold in young people's palates, or is something that, like, how many vegans have you met? And I remember going to a vegan get together, and there was quite a few people, but they were coming from different areas of Tennessee. Is there a network for vegans in Chicago that you're a part of?
They're sort of kind of like there's a meetup group that's here that I've become a part of. They do like potlucks and get-togethers and try different vegan restaurants every other month. And yeah, it's really cool. It's a mix of people. There's only a few people of color that have noticed or that are non-Caucasian. And yeah, that's it. It's really, I kind of agree. It's really kind of a Caucasian thing. But I've seen over the years, including my time in Chicago here, like I met an Uber driver once coming up back from a school in the South Side, and we were chatting, and I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about becoming vegan, and he is was a black gentleman, and was like, oh, really? No way. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, actually, I run this small group, and we put on this little conference every year. And he gave me this little postcard, and it was like South Side Afro Vegan comp for like mini conference. There's like 10 different chefs coming, and people from all these little different niche companies that do vegan stuff or like vitamin or plant-based diet. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And he's like, yeah, he had been vegan. He's like, I've been vegan for 20 years. And I'm like, no way. And he's like, yeah, it's the best. And then I think I've seen some things where people have, in different communities. I think in Atlanta, I was reading about one where trying to get like corner convenience stores. I'm kind of getting off again, but like corner convenience stores to get more like Whole Foods and have like farmers markets in these food deserts in the cities. And oftentimes that coincides with talking about plant-based diet as well, which is pretty cool. But it's definitely, and so what I guess what I'm trying to say is it's people are trying to make it more accessible and more economically feasible for people. And really, if you kind of break it down, like the plant-based diet, a vegan diet, really anybody can buy. It's not terribly expensive. It's once you want to get into having couscous and quinoa with like 10 different spices, and if you want to get really into the recipes and kind of go crazy with things, you can spend a lot of money, but you don't necessarily have to. There's getting into the alternative meats can get expensive, but that can sometimes help people kind of get over the edge of giving up meat, because it still has the texture and you can cook it a certain way. And yeah, so I think there's some options out there, but definitely being pushed from the top, or like it's mostly accessible to white people who are affluent with money. And some of the biggest environmental centers or sustainability places in the country are on the West Coast, Seattle, San Francisco, obviously. A lot of cities in San Francisco, or in California, excuse me. And these are mostly white, affluent areas. And a lot of these companies were started by white, affluent people too. But there's that affluence can be used for good, and or it can be not used for good. And there's an economics. I think an economic point to be made about affluent people pumping a lot of money into companies that are putting out vegan products and buying vegetables at farmers markets that are sustaining small farmers in rural areas, so that they're able to hopefully expand, and those companies are able to grow. And you could say that, well, they're only going to go out and serve more white affluent people, but that's not necessarily true. Kind of getting into a little bit of trickle down economics, but it's like, which I don't completely subscribe to. But I think there's, I wouldn't completely discredit that as necessarily a bad scenario.
The reason that I brought it up is because I try to be vegetarian, and the challenge is always eating out. And now there's more vegetarian or at least salad options in restaurants. But when I first started, it was very difficult to find anything healthy of any kind. And then now there's a few more options, but it just seems like always a challenge. And then if you go to a conference or something, they bring like three vegetarian plates, and people who are not even vegetarians eat them before you're able to get them. So it's a challenge to the logistics of it. So unless you have plenty of time and resources to either grow your own stuff or go get it yourself and then cook it and then carry it with you, it makes it very difficult for single people, at least, to be able to live that lifestyle. So what do you do for your daily intake? Like, do you have to cook massive meals and then put them in the fridge, or make soups and freeze them and then take them to work? Like, how do you keep the vegan thing going?
Yeah, I go grocery shopping maybe a little more often than other people. I probably go like twice a week. I've kind of narrowed down my food choices. I basically buy fruits, salad mix, some other kind of veggie to go in the salad. I'm a single guy doing my own thing, so I don't have mouths to feed. And I also get rice and beans, oats, things like flaxseed, and like super cheap quinoa when it's out there. And then I get cheapest tomato sauce and cheapest salsa, frozen vegetables or canned vegetables. And I make meals a couple times a week of just like rice, beans, tomato sauce, salsa, and canned vegetables or frozen vegetables. Make a couple of those, I'm good for a couple of days. Breakfast is a super smoothie, bananas, strawberries, blueberries, greens with almond milk, water, sometimes like a plant-based protein powder, and then oatmeal, put the flaxseed in, some chia seeds, you're good to go. Make, two big cups of that, and that's pretty filling for me. And then dinner is a salad, or I'll get something. If I go out, I'll get, when I go out is usually when I treat myself, if I go out with people, but, usually get, stick with like the noodles and vegetables, soup and vegetables, salad. If it's, a little bit nicer place, you can go and get like I was saying, the couscous, the quinoa, with like vegetables, some kind of saute thing. There's vegetable tacos, there's vegetable pizza, there's, I don't do eggs, and that's one of the differences between, I do eat eggs on occasion, and things with eggs in them sometimes, but that's the difference between vegan and vegetarian, too, is like the eggs and the cheese, and I go back and forth on that, but there's definitely some options out there. And then, I drink a lot of water, which I think is one of the things that a lot of people, when they're trying to make a shift to a diet, don't really think about, or just a health thing that isn't thought about a lot, is that just drinking enough water every day is very, very helpful. Yeah, I'm obviously not the only one who knows that or pushes it. It's But my grocery bill is like, I don't know, maybe sometimes it's like $30 a week, sometimes it's $50 a week, just to get stocked up I'm basically buying fruit and almond milk the most, because those go out the fastest. Making the smoothies, putting them in a bowl of oatmeal, Oh, the other thing I'll buy is like peanut butter for a sweet, for like a dessert thing. You know, peanut butter and a banana and some almond milk. That's awesome. That's a really good. That's a good combo right there.
Let's talk about the scientific premise for veganism. According to the same pamphlet, ChristianVeg.org, they say that while humans can digest flesh, and it's likely that our ancestors consumed some meat, our anatomy much more strongly resembles that of a plant-eating creature. For example, like plant eaters, but unlike meat eaters, our colons are long and complex, not simple and short. Our saliva contains digestive enzymes, unlike carnivores, and our teeth resemble those of plant eaters. For instance, our canines are short and blunt, not long, sharp, and curved. But I've heard the same idea to claim that we're omnivores, that there was some type of meat, or bugs, or whatever that the primordial men ate. So do you agree with what they're saying, or is it a point to convince people that maybe scientifically doesn't have as much weight as they're trying to say?
It's kind of hard to argue with that. On the one hand, I mean, there's we are, and that's an interesting scientific point. I'm not sure what the. I don't think people are. I mean, I guess there could be like an agenda behind it. A reason to push that diet. I mean.
Well, you know, like we would have five stomachs if we were supposed to ruminate grass like the cows.
Right. Yeah.
If you believe in evolution or not, the closest animals, at least similar to us, are apes, and they eat everything because, you know, the environment where they're at. So that's the thing. Like, I even think that maybe early humans were scavengers. Because not having the ability to fight off an animal without weapons would make them have to eat whatever carcass they found in the ground. So I just don't see humans being able to process that much greens. Like, I don't know if you've had this conversation with other people, but people that eat a lot of vegetables, they have a lot of stomach problems because of how hard it is to digest. You know, if all you drink is juice or shakes that you make yourself, all that green stuff gives you flatulence. And I know that we're going to get crucified by our audience because I'm sure there's a lot of vegans that listen to our show. But I just want to say, you know, if anybody wants to contact us and give us their spiel, I would love to give them a platform for it. But I'm just talking from... You know, I met people from all sides, and I met people who used to be vegans or they were raised vegans, and now they can't stand that lifestyle. And I met other people who have become healthier, and they're some gentleman, even his eye color changed, and it cleansed his colon, and he didn't have any medical problems. And then there's people that say that meat consumption is related to cancer. So we're open to hear different perspectives. The only reason that I'm not vegetarian is because of my allergies. I actually would like to be vegetarian for religious reasons, and I found out that I'm allergic to soy and a lot of other things that I was using to be protein. So again, you know, we're not trying to offend anybody, but I don't know. I guess science, like anything else, can be interpreted. And some people say that we have vegetarian-like features, and other people say we have more omnivore features. Now, if someone says that we're more carnivore than anything, I would fight them about that because, like in this article, they're saying we don't have fangs. We wouldn't be able to, like, I don't think humans can even process raw meat that well. So whoever came up with cooking meat had some divine inspiration because I think that's the only way that humans can actually chew raw meat other than sushi. Have you looked up any of these things?
Yeah, so like, I definitely agree with you with the raw meat thing. And there was a documentary I was watching not too long ago about a plant-based diet and why it's the best one. There's a bunch of them on Netflix that I think are really fascinating. And this one in particular followed a couple MDs who have spent most of their career trying to help people overcome certain diseases and certain, whether they're diet-related or not, and some people with cancer. And there's some research out there to show that a plant-based diet or exclusively eating vegetables and fruits has cured some people of cancer. And that's really, you know, some people might, there's mixed reports on it, but there's definitely some evidence to say that's the case. Anyways, these couple MDs have said the same thing of like the enzymes that are involved in that are in meat, our stomachs are really not made to process, and there's some kind of chemical reaction where as soon as we put meat in our mouth, there's some kind of enzymatic, I don't know if there's a right word, reaction that causes a chain reaction in our gut, and changes some things in our I want to say our liver, our kidneys, in our blood, that kind of puts things in a bad way. We start there's like hiccup. The amino acids don't break down. We can't break them down in the right way, in a way that's productive for our cells. So when I kind of heard that, and I was like, man, that kind of makes sense. And what was another one about? As far as like historically, thinking like we've, hunted woolly mammoths and probably ate them. Yeah, and if we figured a way to cook meat, that's the only thing that, you know, there's no way, I don't think there's any way we could eat it raw. Like, that's crazy, you know? That's just too much. With vegetables and the digestion there, I have not heard that that's something that is a problem for a lot of people, which is really, that's really unfortunate. And I think maybe one option could be doing that and then supplementing with some probiotics or something like an apple cider vinegar or something that would help the stomach digest better. Because the other part of this conversation is the probiotics, kind of the piece about our gut bacteria being a huge part of our inner life and our inner health, and if that's off, all different types of things are off.
Well, but give me the pitch for Jesus being vegetarian. You know, the show that is going to air before this one is Jesus the Necromancer. So now you got to give me Jesus the vegan promoter, or and again, they're talking about now, because we all know that Jesus ate like a Mediterranean Jew of the first century. So from the biblical record, you know, they ate lamb, they ate fish, they would eat a calf whenever they were celebrating something, and it was it's like a rural environment, so maybe some olives and olive oil. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I went to Greece, I asked for a salad, and it was all cucumbers and tomatoes, because they don't really have romaine lettuce over there. So there's been different books that have been written about like the biblical diet and how that is more holy or whatever than the normal diet that Americans eat. So one of the main points that this pamphlet makes is that regarding compassion for animals and the mass production of meat for people is very disturbing. So do you think that the reason that Jesus would be not interested in eating mass produced food of any kind will be because it lacks some compassion and some mindfulness about the way that it is being processed.
Because on the one hand, I struggle with like how important I think diet is part of our whole life and is part of our spiritual life to some degree, and I believe that God does have compassion on his creation and wants us to treat it with respect and be its caretakers, stewards, if you will. And with that, I don't believe he's super stoked about the way that we're treating the planet and the way that we do treat animals. But it's hard for me to make the link then that it would to go so far as to what some people say, like one of in the Clementine homilies of like the early Christians and some of these other references to people who have spent a lot of time in on this subject, like saying that anyone who eats meat is possessed by a devil, and that eating meat brings in devils. Have you read that at all? Have you heard this?
That sounds very interesting. The Clementine homilies, from what I know, is like a 4th century book that rewrites the history of Jesus and his disciples, and it has some very strange things. So it's interesting that they're talking that meat gives people demons, because in Jewish sources, demons come about through other means. So I wonder why dietary restrictions regarding that would be an issue, especially since the Apostle Paul said that people shouldn't be judged by their dietary requirements.
Yeah, yeah, that's really fascinating. I mean, some of these people are talking about too, we're saying Paul was against the early Christians in Jerusalem who were led by St. James, or James, the brother of Jesus, or the cousin of Jesus. That's another topic. Who were all vegetarian. And that there was... Some people were even saying, they go so far as that Jesus and his family were Essene, which you would know a lot more about than I would, and that the Essenes were vegetarians themselves. Sounds like they're mystics.
I think the reason they were vegetarian was like me, they couldn't afford kosher meat. So it's the easiest way to be kosher is to be vegetarian, because you're avoiding all the things that need more processing, and you know, there's a ritual way of slaughtering the animal. You gotta take the veins off, you have to salt it. So if you're living in the desert or if you're on the run, it's easier to be vegetarian, and then you are still keeping those commandments regarding the dietary prohibitions. What made you look up the Clementine homilies? That's a very controversial book, even for well-learned Catholics like you.
Well, because I knew we were going to talk about this, and so I did some research and some reading on it to see what other people were saying, because there's some people have a lot of evidence. People, you know, there's people who are really supportive of this idea, and they cited this over and over again. That and what was the other one? Eusebius, right? Who wrote? He wasn't a church father, but who wrote about like Heragopes or Heriages, something like that. Who also had some writings about the early Christians, and he made references to them, the community of St. James, and about Christians not ever, like real Christians not ever eating meat. St. James lived on a plant-based diet. He ate seeds, plants, and didn't even drink wine. And what was the other? Yeah, I'd never heard of it before looking into it. just to chat with you about it. But I mean, I think that's all really interesting, and it's like I could totally see but I think what like what you're saying about if they this group of Jewish people did it for more of a convenience factor and they couldn't afford it makes more sense to me than what some of these, and we haven't even gotten into this, but so what some of these other people were saying too is that Christ's main message was to be a vegetarian, and that he actually died. He died because when he went to the temple. So the story in the gospel is where he goes in the temple and he flips over the tables of the money changers and the pigeons, and these people who are putting this pro-vegetarian message out there are saying the main reason why the Pharisees, the Sadducees, came after him was because he wanted to kick out and save the pigeons out of the temple. And that's literally why they crucified him. That's a bit of to me that's a real stretch in theology. But I personally have no issue with thinking that Christ himself, Jesus, was a vegetarian. There's a group of Christians who are either vegetarians for whatever reason, for spiritual reasons or for non-spiritual reasons, and or Jesus, it seemed like he ate some fish and he celebrated the Paschal feast, or the Passover, excuse me, you know, with his family, so he probably ate lamb at some point. And yeah, I mean, I just think there's a lot of discombobulated evidence to try to make.
If you know any Latin, help me come up with a term for creating Jesus in your own image. John the Baptist ate locusts and honey, and he was a Nazarene. He had taken a Nazarene vow, just like James, the brother of Jesus. So if they claim that Jesus had done the same somehow because he was related to them, the stories are completely against that, because he was drinking wine when the Nazarites don't drink wine. He was, you know, there's stories about him eating fish, like you said, the Paschal lamb. That one's a controversial one with some Christians, because if he himself is a Paschal lamb, can he really be eating the Passover meal? And then, you know, there's stories where he talks about they kill the calf to celebrate and stuff like that. So what happens is that since they feel passionate about veganism, now they're superimposing that he was fighting with the temple money changers about the animal sacrifices. And that's something they mention in this booklet, that since he's the ultimate sacrifice, that the sacrifices are done away with. And that would be a contentious thing, because there's in the stories in the book of Acts, his followers were still worshiping the temple, and part of the temple worship up until the temple was destroyed was that you had to bring animals for sacrifice for your family. You would bring a turtle dove, a ram, a lamb, or an ox, depending on the sin. So, but what people forget is that they weren't just throwing the animals in the fire, they were actually eating them. So they were actually having a barbecue. And maybe only the priests ate the meat, but at least the food didn't go to waste. So I'd really want to come up with a term, because there's other groups like liberation theologians, people like that, who try to say that Jesus was actually pro-war and conflict, because that's what they want him to be. And, you know, if you want him to be a vegan, you're going to make him a vegan. So at least this pamphlet that we're discussing does not say that he was a vegan originally. It says that based on the situation now, it would be the godly thing to be a vegan out of care for the world, you know, and not only the human population, but the animal population. And I find that a little more honest and consistent. So I applaud you for striving to be vegan, because when I decided to do kosher-tarian, it became a problem with my family. they actually were offended that I wouldn't eat their food. So have you run into any problems? I know that, you know, not to get personal, but I share with you that some people might discriminate you during your romantic pursuits because of your eating habits. But I guess now it's cool to be vegan.
Now it's in, man. Yeah, get it, get with that, dude. It's well, thankfully, the person that I'm seeing right now is totally cool with it and thinks it's cool. I think that there's, I've never had a problem in my personal life because I'm such an accommodator when it comes to this that, you know, if I'm at the family's house and it's like, hey, we're going to get a pizza and it's what do you guys want? And so everyone's like, meat lovers, like, okay, and I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to sit there and pick off all the meat. You know, throw stones at me. I don't care. I'm going to eat it. I think where it gets, you know, like in, so I work in an office and we have office parties and thankfully people are also very accommodating and like, hey, any vegetarians, we need to order something for a meeting and that's always good. I think sometimes difficult when, you know, honestly, when it's most difficult is when I go home, and my family's very accommodating to it, and I can when I go back to see my close family, my parents, my sister, and them. Yeah, sometimes it'll be like just days and days. My dad loves making, you know, he loves barbecue and he loves making up a steak, and I love it. You know, that's how we grew up, and it's all good. And so over the years. Though, because my brother-in-law became vegan too, he became like vegan and a runner and got really into it and growing food, and that slowly but surely we had like our first vegan Thanksgiving maybe about 4 years ago now, and where he made everything and my dad got into it too, and I really can't complain about that fact. But it is something that when I go out with friends or go someplace, it crosses my mind. Like, I know we're going to go this place. What are you going to get? I just had a date the other night, and it was like, well, you know, what do you want to split? And it was like, well, let's get one like chicken dish, and let's get one like veggie dish, and that's what it turned out, and worked out that way, and we both had some. Didn't have to be too much of a point of contention. So thankfully, I am just extremely blessed with being around people who are not terribly picky. And but I know for some people that's not the case. Like yourself, and I think maybe with yourself, I remember you've shared too, coming from a different culture than me, and having a different background. There's different. And other people too, like thinking about it from that perspective, how they would, why it would be kind of strange, like, why are you not going to eat the carne asada? You know, like.
So, do you have to, like, Thanksgiving is coming up. Do you recommend tofurkey or do you eat something else?
I've never had a tofurkey. No, I have had tofurkey once at a Friendsgiving. And it was pretty good, but I recommend getting creative with it. I recommend really doing something else. Like, there's so many, like, cold dishes and other vegetarian dishes that you can make, vegan dishes. Someone like my brother-in-law did it. He had, like, a sweet potato dish. We had, like, a chickpea-based dish. A sauteed like vegetables of different kinds dish. You can do eggplant, you can do squash, you can do broccoli and cauliflower. We did he did like these whole roasted heads of cauliflower with really good seasoning on it, and was completely vegan, and we ate, you know, most of it. It's funny because, and then we're all sitting around the table at my sister's house and just enjoying it and chit-chatting and drinking some wine, and we're like, wow, I'm like, after a couple plates, it was like, wow, I'm getting full. And most Thanksgivings, I guess, you know, you can, most people do Thanksgiving kind of, this kind of a plate thing. Like, how many plates can you get in? How much turkey can you get in? How much, you know, because it's just a massive, usually it's such a massive amount of food. But we were saying, like, wow, we're really full, but I don't feel super full. I don't feel stuffed. Like, I just feel generally full, which is a really cool feeling. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but it's a really neat feeling just to be, like, satiated, but not when you're, but when you want to eat a lot, but just, you're just kind of happy full. And I don't know, I'm kind of weird. I associate kind of being vegetarian and vegan and eating these plant-based foods with kind of that sense of being full but not being overloaded, because you're not putting, unfortunately, with a lot of the meats, in the way that if you're not eating, you know, if we're not eating organic, you're getting some, which can happen with vegetables too, but there's toxins and there's chemicals and things like that where, I don't know, you know, at the farm too, having a fresh farm-cooked meal, man, with some veggies, like, that's pretty good living. It's pretty idyllic in my book.
Well, we want to thank you for your time and for sharing your experience. Again, I would like to invite our vegan friends who listen to the show to email us at mysticandskeptic1word@gmail.com. We're just throwing the idea out. We're, you know, sharing our experiences, and we want to know, you know, pros and cons. Like, I feel sometimes that different groups, they give you the best case scenario, and sometimes you don't know some of the pitfalls or issues that can come up. I want to hear people who can give us an honest assessment of these different ideas, and maybe we can do a series of different diets, because I can't say I've tried too many diets, but the ones that I've tried, they all say that they're the cure to everybody's problems, and the more I realize that might not be the case. So if we can get people from other perspectives or other worldviews, that would be wonderful. So please email us if you're interested in being on the show as a guest. And always a pleasure to have you on the show, Joe. If you have any other topics you'd like to discuss anytime soon, let me know. But when I first heard that you were, you know, playing with the idea of being a vegan, I was actually shocked. I don't know why. Like, I know that you're involved in the progressive movement, but it's something that you hadn't shared with me. So I think it's we should also have a safe space for people to share new things they're trying out. And again, no judgment. Like, I think that that might be one of the reasons why people have a hard time sharing their experiences, because who knows what people are going to say. And I've heard people being mistreated when they bring up things of this nature. So that's the last thing that we would like for it to happen. So, final thoughts?
No, thank you for having me. I really think that it's really... It's a cool, it's kind of a different way to see life. I think it's kind of like a little bit, you know, get out there, try to be vegan for a little while, be vegetarian, a little adventurous, kind of open up your palate, see the world from a different, slightly different perspective. It might save you some money, and see how you feel about it. I think definitely it's an interesting group of people, and I think it's an interesting topic in our society. I was a little bit surprised, like, how long I've stayed vegan and vegetarian, and how much I've enjoyed it. So, be prepared if you're going to do it, and you go for a while. Be prepared; you might lose some weight, So that's just like throwing that out there for everybody. It definitely happens a lot. But anyways, no, really good to talk about and love being on the mystic and the skeptic all the time.